Thanks, Pastor Bob. Good morning, everyone. Membership's been a long time coming for me. I was raised in a mainline church, and we attended Sunday school and church every Sunday as a family. But my mom had some Baptist background in her, and she made sure that us kids went to VBS and Friday Club at the local evangelical church in our town. So when I was about 11 or 12, I made a commitment there at Friday Club. I attended this church through my teens, and in my 20s, I was baptized at the Swift Current Alliance Church. I've always been involved in the churches that we've attended. I've done Pioneer Girls as a leader, been involved in women's Bible studies and in women's fellowship. Our four sons were taken to Sunday school and church regularly, as well as Awana and youth group when we could get them there as teenagers. Two of my sons, Kirk and Lance, were baptized in this church and became members. In my mid-40s, I went to work full-time outside the home, and I was very fortunate to get a good job, but it necessitated a move to Moose Jaw and later to Regina. So I moved away from this area that I'd lived in all my life. And unfortunately, at that time, I moved away from God as well. But the wonderful thing about God is that he doesn't move away from us. And he waits for us to come back to him, and sometimes he needs to give us a little nudge or two to remind us that he's still there waiting. I eventually asked forgiveness for my sinfulness, and I was restored to fellowship with God. And Psalm 51 is a psalm that I love, and I want to read a few verses to you. Wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion, it haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. As David found out, there are consequences to sin, and restoration does not make the consequences go away. And I really struggled with guilt. I knew God had forgiven me, but I still carried my burden of guilt around. Gary and I had moved to the farm at Pontex by this time, and we were attending church here. One Sunday, Cliff Jansen was preaching a message on forgiveness, and he talked about the fact that if God can forgive us and forget about our sins, that we have to be able to do that as well. And that was a real turning point for me. At that time, I experienced the joy of my salvation again. I'm a strong believer in prayer, and I have some wonderful prayer friends here, and I've learned a lot about prayer from them. When I have problems or joy, it's on the phone or sometimes messaging on my tablet. About my joys and my problems. And I'm a real prayer. I pray when I'm having my devotions. I pray when I walk. I pray when I can't sleep. I pray when I lose things, and that's too often these days. I pray for the spiritual well-being of my family and for their safety and for their health. But I've struggled with the loss of friends and family over the years, friends and family that I felt were too young to be taken from us, my dad, my son's father, my friends Jim Heinrichs and Dale Brooks, who were also my daughter-in-law Jackie's father and stepdad. So many sons and daughters and grandchildren left without a dad or a grandpa. One positive result that came out of this time was Jackie's son, Connor, saying, after he had lost two grandpas within a year, he said, "I sure hope nothing happens to Grandpa Gary. He's the only grandpa I have left." So it was a time of family drawing closer together. But we've seen many miracles happen as well, and I have to remind myself of that. 15 years ago, my youngest son, Lane, had a life-threatening fall from a power pole. So I was on the phone to my prayer friends back here at Bridgeway right away. Thanks to some good doctoring and lots of prayer, Lane didn't have any lasting brain damage, and he was eventually able to go back to work. Another positive of the hours spent at the hospital in Regina was that Lane's dad and I got past our animosity and we developed a friendship that lasted until he died. 5 years ago, my son Kent had a mild heart attack in Estevan, but he waited until he'd been transported to Regina to have a major heart attack. If he hadn't been in the cardiac ward when it happened, he would not have made it. Once again, on the phone to my prayer friends at Bridgeway. A few months later, my sister was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic lymphoma, so off I headed to Calgary to be her caregiver for a few weeks. A couple of days later, the doctor told us that she also had acute lymphoblastic leukemia, terminal without a stem cell transplant, and probably a less than 50-50 chance even with that. My few weeks of caregiving turned into 5 months. As it turned out, I was a perfect match for her donor, a major answer to prayer. Once again, many calls had gone out from my prayer friends. I was frightened I would lose my sister. Gary was busy trying to get the harvest off, and I missed him. I missed being at home. And after the stem cell transplant, I was exhausted. Two close friends died of cancer as well during those months. Many a day, I was just overwhelmed and on the phone to talk to one of my prayer partners. At the same time, there was a young man in the next room. He was in his 40s, and they were a Christian couple, and many a day his wife would come over into our room and she'd say, "Let's pray together. We need to pray." Well, the Lord took him and left a young widow with three teenagers. And Carol and I really, really struggled with that. She said, why did God take him and not take her? She was 60, she was single, she had no children. That 5 months at the cancer clinic taught me to lay it all at God's feet and also to accept the answers that I received. My sister and I are closer now than we've ever been, and she's cancer-free at this time. I want to tell you about one more miracle in our family. One of Gary's sons had been deep in the drug culture for 20 years or more. Periodically, he'd get clean for a few months, but it never lasted. He played around with Satanism several years ago, and at that time, I prayed for his spiritual protection and for his salvation. Years went by, and his lifestyle continued until about 3 years ago. He told his dad he wanted to get clean for good. My son Kent told him that he couldn't do it without God. We have a pastor friend in Calgary who does a lot of work with addicts, and he had offered to help whenever Scott was ready. Gary took Scott to see Pastor Ray. Scott was saved. He went into the Teen Challenge program. He certainly had his ups and downs there, but he persisted and he graduated. He was baptized, he loves the Lord, and he loves the Word, and he never hesitates to give his testimony. Sometimes he puts me to shame with his knowledge of the Bible. Speaking of which, I don't remember whose idea it was or why we went through this session of reading through the New Testament this past year, but it was great. I think it's the first time in my life that I've ever read right through from Matthew to Revelations, and it was a real blessing. Now, back to church memberships. 30 years ago, I had taken the membership classes, which you had to do in those days, and I was all prepared to join Bridgeway Church. Something personal happened a few days before, and I didn't follow through with membership. Over the years, I decided that being an adherent was good enough. Several times, Gary suggested to me that maybe I should reconsider, but I thought things were just fine the way they were. We attend a Southern Baptist church the winter months in Hawaii, and it's a very different church from Bridgeway, as some of our friends here who have attended it with us would attest to. There's lots of, you know, hands up for singing and lots of amens, and there's an altar call every Sunday for whatever you feel you need to come forward and pray about. And I thought, this works just fine. Two churches that I love attending, and this is good. But a couple of years ago, Pastor Bob was preaching out of Acts. And he talked about membership not being the denomination or the building, but that it's the body of believers. And I looked around the church, and I saw the people here. Couples who had been the young parents when we started attending here, now their children are the young parents. And I thought, man, have I really been a attending this church that long. I love our church in Hawaii, but this is my body. This is my body of believers. This is my home church. And I want to become a member here. I want to leave you with these verses, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith.